Monet, we're on tour.
Bob, we're going on tour. Finally, the sibling rivalry tour is getting some wings, and we flying across the country and the world.
Yes, honey. Listen, if you want to see me and Monet in a town near you, please go to bobandmonet.com. We're going to be live music, brand new songs, podcasting, dancers, glamour.
Baby, everything y'all want in a Bob and Monet show, you're going to get. So make sure you get your tickets at bobandmonet.com.
All right, help us sell out. We love you all. Mwah.
Yeah. Madison Square Garden, here we come.
Hey, y'all, it's Monet Exchange. And my name is Bob the Drag Queen, and this is Sibling Advice. Now, listen, we all know that we are not doctors.
Not even a little bit.
We're not therapists. We are not psychologists.
We don't know much about algebra.
Psychiatrist, if you need advice, please go to your doctor, your rabbi, your priest, your shaman, your teacher, your therapist. This is just for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, everything we're saying is for use in this podcast only. Do not take this as sound advice to take into the world to remedy your issues. If you have, do not take any of this seriously. This is for entertainment purposes only, and we don't want anyone to feel like we are diagnosing them, that we're giving them a prognosis on life.
So with that in line, let's get into some advisory. Any?
You know, Bob, we liked our outfits so much from our last rivalry episode that we decided to wear them again for this advisory. And I came back specifically to Boston because I wanted the same backdrop.
You can always tell a hotel room when you see it.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it just looks, you know what it is? It looks like the furniture can't move. Like, it looks like the furniture is nailed to the ground. You know what I mean? And there's always like a headboard that is just attached to the wall.
Yeah, because I've been to hotels. Like, there's this TikTok of this guy and his partner going on a vacation somewhere, and they're in this like really riggedy crickety hotel. It's so funny. And like, you can like beds at hotels that move around, it just gives me sloppy, nasty vibes, and we don't want that. This feels clean, and I feel like there's nothing hiding under a bed or something. Also, the beds are always like flush to the ground, so you can't get your shit, your phone or something stuck under there. Have you ever gotten your phone or something stuck under the bed? That's the worst.
Never at a hotel, because you can't go under the bed at a hotel, typically speaking.
Right, you can't go under it.
I actually really want, I really want to secure my bed at home to the wall. It's been driving me
nuts. Does your bed move around?
It used to move around a lot more than it does now, but it does move. When you get on the bed, it just kind of slightly moves over, but then what ends up happening.
What kind of fucking you and Jacob are doing? Jacob, you must be busting that bussy wide open, ain't you?
We doing the bed moving kind of fucking, honey.
Damn.
When I grow up,
I'm trying to get like you, my boy.
You're absurd. Anyway, when you get in the bed and the bed moves, the bed bumps into the socket next to my table, and then all my shit comes unplugged. I be waking up in the morning, my phone be on 3%. It is so annoying when you swear your phone was charging all night long, and you wake up and your shit be like, psych, my boy.
You know, Bob, I feel like ever since we have started Sibling Advisory, nature is healing. We have helped a lot of people, and we give one of us more than the other very sound advice, and people are really living for the advisory.
I don't think that's what nature is healing means.
Yes, nature is healing by our advice.
I don't think that's what that saying means.
Okay, not exactly, Bob. Obviously, I'm being a little ridiculous. Yes,
I mean, I think you can be ridiculous with nature's healing, but I don't think it even fits this context at all. Like, for example, if we're talking about how like the Kardashians are like losing their plastic surgeryness or whatever, and they're looking when they're looking like their natural selves, we'd be like, "Wow, nature's healing."
Have you seen that? Everybody was like, Monet, no.
Them having their asses removed. I've heard rumors.
Bitch, Kim Kardashian stepped out at the, where was she at?
I don't know.
With her and Pete Davidson. Oh my God. So there's a big event that happened recently.
Coney Island?
Yes. the White House correspondence, the White House correspondence dinner, and Kim Kardashian. You know, Kim, everyone knows Kim Kardashian had a bodacious ass booty. When I tell you, and again, she still has a nice curve. She didn't get it. You know, she probably it's a little more than what she is probably naturally. But girl, it she is back to. I'm like, this is crazy. Do you think? Do you see a world where Kim Kardashian will run for some type of public office?
I just don't really know the Kardashians like that. And I'm not saying this from a place of, I'm not one of the folks, like, I don't watch the Kardashians. I've never seen the show and I don't know much of anything about Kim Kardashian. So I honestly don't know.
But if you heard, kind of like aliens, if you heard Kim Kardashian run for public office, would you be surprised?
No. I know that Caitlyn Jenner has run for public office. Kanye West has run for public office. So it would not. I live in a time where Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor, and Jesse the Body Ventura was also the governor of
that Wisconsin. Was so, Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Minnesota was it, yeah. So yeah, but so I you are. I'm not trying to be funny, but sometimes your geography is wild.
What, Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Well, you said the governor of Minneapolis. Like, you can't be the governor of Minneapolis.
Okay, first of all, they did us all a disservice by naming them so similar. Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's too much. It should have been like Talama, Minnesota, like Minneapolis.
What about naming Minnesota similar like New York or New York? What about something that similar?
That's dumb. Well, actually, that's fine because you can just say New York and then people be like, okay, yeah, because it works for both. But Minneapolis and Minnesota, they're too close. Name it. Minnesota, Minnesota. Then I can say Minnesota. That would have been correct.
I cannot find this screen grab. But when I tell you that Monet took me out, and I was undone. Monet was doing an AMA on her. Monet was doing an AMA on her Instagram, and Monet was like, people are asking Monet questions. And someone said, Monet, what are five cities you want to travel to? What are five cities? But and Monet named five places, but none of them were cities. And I mean, not one of the places Monet named was a city. Monet said Brazil.
I don't think that's true. I said Tokyo.
No, I'm telling you because I retweeted and I said none of these were cities. One of them was Brazil. And that I know that. And I remember that one of them was Asia. All right, this is not real sibling rivalry.
It's not a rivalry. Oh my god!
Oh, that shit took me out when I said Asia, girl. That shit gathered me.
I have the list right here. It was three cities you want to perform that you haven't yet, and the three cities were Brazil, Africa, and Thailand.
That was what it was. That was what it was.
First of all, Jacob, when's somebody talking to you? That's first of all.
Baby, can you please text that to me? That shit is so...
No, Jacob, if you text it to him, this is... That see, is this is what I'm talking about, y'all. The sneaky Brazil, little boyfriend.
Africa. Why did you say that?
It was like Ask Me Anything. I was like, had a lot going on. I was just like, oh my God, I want to go to these places. I wanted to leave it open-ended so that I didn't like say one place. Like, what if I said Sao Paulo, but Rio wanted to bring me? You know what I mean? I don't want to ostracize anyone. You are such a child.
Oh, all right. Give us the fucking advice.
Let's take the first question.
Hey, Bob and Monet. I am a trans woman who has huge feet, even for men. I wear a size 12 or 13 in men's sizes, and because of that, it's really hard for me to find shoes that I like literally anywhere. So far, I've had to just stick to men's sneakers because that's all that'll fit me. Do you guys know where I could get like heels or sandals or any type of quote-unquote girl shoe that would be able to fit me? Sincerely, Mrs. Bigfoot.
Baby, do I have the remedy for you, honey? Onlymaker.com is going to, bitch, when I tell you, it's about to change your entire motherfucking life. Onlymaker.com is where I get literally all of my shoes. sandals, sneakers, heels, everything. They make all type of shoes, flats, onlymaker.com. And they, if you are a woman's, if you are a men's 12, 13, I would suggest getting a size 15. And they have every high heel you see me have, they're either size 13, sometimes a 14, if they're like really tight. And they do shoes right. And the heels are high. Just because your shoe, just because you have a wider foot, they don't make the heel like shorter. Like if it's a 6-inch heel, it's gonna be a 6-inch heel, whether it's a size 2 or a size 14. So yeah, so get you on onlymaker.com. It's about to change your fucking life, bitch.
Monet is absolutely right. Onlymaker is a great website. You are talking to two people who have large feet for sex or gender expression, for anyone for that matter. And you know, I used to wear exclusively women's shoes, even out of drag. You remember when I used to wear my little boots and my little I don't know why I'm giving you this advice, because you literally cannot do this, but I used to get my shoes from Payless all the time, because Payless had really shoes in the women's section. Also, Nordstrom Rack has a very nice shoe section for ladies. Also, here's a little surprise. A lot of times, the tennis shoes they sell in men's and women, the only difference is that it's called a men's and a women's shoe. That is literally the only difference in the shoe.
And like they put like a little pink on a girl on the women's one.
Yeah, a women's Air Force One is the same. They just change the sizing on the shoe. There are times where they do change it, make it more narrow, more blah 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 blah. But I would say if it helps you and you don't feel dysphoric, I would try some gender neutral shoes like Air Force Ones or Converse, which, you know, tend to have the same size no matter what. But yeah, Onlymaker is probably going to be your best option for that.
Do you know what fucking irritated me? Something that got me so mad at fucking capitalism and the fucking world we live in. When I went to the store and they were selling women's pens. What the fuck is a women's pen?
Well, Ellen did a whole piece on women's pens. And, you know, I don't know who made the women's pen.
BIC, Bic.
Maybe I don't know the person behind the women's pen, you know. But it is, I will say this, if that affirms your gender, if somehow using a women's pen affirms your gender, pop off pussy hat and use that pen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking wild. It's weird.
Hey, Bob and Monet. My name is Caleb. I'm from Alabama, one of the many places that Bob is from, but not Phoenix City. I'm from a much smaller town. And the advice I'm looking for is on how to get my lesbian best friend to move away from here with me. I have left several times, but I always end up coming back because I just love to be around her. She is my absolute best friend, and I want to do life with her. But it's difficult in this small homophobic town in Alabama. For some context, she is a lesbian cisgender woman. I am a gay cisgender man. I have recently came out to my family a few months ago, and it's went much better than expected. Not great, but much better than expected. She is not out to anyone other than me and just a few other people. But so the advice I'm looking for is, should I try to convince her again to leave, or should I just go back on my own and do my own thing? Thank you, guys. I'm a really big fan of the show. Love you both.
I just want to start by saying it is not Phoenix City. It is Phoenix City. This is a very common misnomer of Phoenix City.
So let me guess. Jean Grey's alter ego is Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix?
Well, Phoenix City is spelled Phenix. It's not spelled Phoenix.
Is it?
Yes, it is Phoenix City. Not me fully living in Phoenix City and you being like, I don't believe you. It is. Or are you looking at what were you doing on your phone one day?
I ordered some Uber Eats. I'll see where he was at.
Yeah, people think it's Phoenix. It's Phoenix City. Anyway. Let me say this. I feel one thing, it is, it sounds really tough that your friend is closeted in this town. And someone who I've visited a lot of small towns in America. Let me tell you right now, this has kind of been my gig for the past 3 years, is going to small towns in America specifically and talking to queer people in those towns. And I moved away to the big city because I couldn't do it anymore. But there are still lots of queer people who stay in their towns and who are tastemakers and change and shifters, movers and shakers in their towns. I also think that there is a difference to coming out in your town as a gay guy and as a lesbian. A lot of times lesbians get more acceptance for some reason than gay men do in small towns and in conservative spaces. I'm not saying across the board to any sapphic people out there. I'm not saying that across the board every experience is easy, but for whatever reason, for some reason, lesbians tend to not get it as bad as gay men. And I just don't know what that is about. So I understand your.
I think it's just the whole struggle of men and feminine. There's something about men being feminine that people are like, what the fuck? Yeah.
You know, even with trans men, like when trans men choose to be feminine, the world goes crazy, bananas. Mm-hmm. Well, why would you be a man and act like a woman? It's like, mm-hmm. you don't, anyway, don't even get me started. So I think that if your friend's not ready to move, baby, you got to go yourself. There's an old saying in the black community, honey, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Also, she might not need to move. Maybe that's your journey. Maybe your journey is going away, but her journey is staying put, staying where she is. You may not have the same path. You know, you can't pull someone into your path in life. And I have this theory that if two people are, no paths in life are parallel. Now, some of them run really close to each other for a very, very, very long time, but no paths in life are completely parallel. And if you're holding hands with someone, you know, at some point you kind of start just getting a little further and a little further away from each other. And then at some point, it's going to get to a point where one of you is just going to yank the other person into your path and they won't live their own life anymore. So I think that if it's not her time to leave, she needs to stay and do her thing, and maybe she'll come and join you later, or maybe not. And you'll just come back and join her. And maybe when you come back to town, it'll be lovely for her to see a beautiful, beautiful queer face when you come back to town.
Yeah, I mean, in my honest opinion, I feel like a little bit of codependency on your end of wanting to be this person. I want to
drag her
everything with this person. So there's a little inkling of codependency. And I think that
forcing your friend. She is reading y'all today, honey.
Oh my God, you're being serious. And I think that dragging a friend to do this move could have catastrophic outcomes for your friendship. Like if you are dragging this person to leave and they ended up hating it, they could end up resenting you for making them do that and for putting the pressure on them to do that. So I'm like, if they're happy and content staying in y'all's hometown, then like let that be. And like, you know, don't force or push this person to do something that they may end up resenting you for later. And I forgot, is she out?
She's not out. No,
she's not out. So that's my other thing. And coming up on Pride season, you know, a lot of people are like, there's this big thing like just come out, like people like telling people to come out. And I'm like, some people have different things to lose in coming out. Some people lose friends, they lose family, they lose home, they lose their housing. Like there are different things for different people are coming out. So if your friend is not ready to come out because they don't want to lose their relationship with their mom or their dad or their sister, whatever it is, like let them do that on their own time and when they truly feel like they've had enough, when they're truly ready to. Like, don't force this person to do something because you feel like you need them and you want them to go on this journey with you.
Yeah, it sounds like you are just at different places in your journeys with your queerness.
Partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was warming, it was gray, it was looking crazy, and I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever. So it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century. And that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
back. I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Can we get the next question, please, Jacob?
My question is, what is a normal tipping amount at a drag show? I've never been, and I wouldn't want to offend the talents with poor tipping. Thank you.
I know Monet's supposed to go first, but let me say right now, depending on who show you, if you have my show, a band. A band. If you have Monet's show, a dollar will do.
I think there are different things to this, right? So, like, let's say you go into a bar and there is no cover charge. This is a free show. These girls are putting on a good show for you. So, I mean, well, hopefully they're putting on a good show for you. So, I would say take 20, like, you would spend $20 going out to see if you had to pay like a ticketed price. So get $20 out of the ATM and divide that among all the entertainers. Now, if this is a bar, obviously if you can afford more than that, that's great. I have to tell you personally, when I was a local girl working, or even now, when I'm out at a show and someone pulls out $20 to give me, or someone pulls out $100, like bottom of this, the rare $100 bill, someone will come and they'll give you $100. You're like, bitch. Bitch, I'm going to live my life. That always feels so fucking good to you. I don't think y'all understand how good that feels. If you are a bitch, this is your fifth gig of the week, and someone pulls out something, a $20 or more, it does make you feel very good, and it will make you, bitch, pull out more stops at night. And if you go into a bar that there is a cover charge, I mean, I am from New York, so I can't even gauge. What a cover charge is, like $5-$10, right? If there is a cover charge, I would still say getting $20, bringing $20 to a drag show and dividing it among your entertainers, I feel is a fair way. If you can't afford that, obviously don't break the bank if it's going to ruin you. But if you're going out, you're going out to drink and you're going out to support these girls and watch a show, getting $20 out and dividing it among the entertainers, I feel is a great place to start.
Do you remember, this may have been before your time, do you remember that guy that used to come to the shows and tip all the girls $100
bills? Yes.
And his name was like Sparkles or Glitter, and he walked with a cane, and he would always sit right
at Monster
at Barracuda, and he was, I mean, covered. He
oh
was
yes, covered yes, in yes. Big guy. Heavyset guy.
Yeah. Walked with a cane, and would tip like $500 a night, all in $100 bills. Sometimes even more than that.
Uh-huh.
And then one day he just,
bitch, like, when you see him at your show, you bitch, I'm before. Let me entertain you.
Yeah, and then one day he just kind of disappeared. He just like kind of stopped coming around. I don't know whatever happened to that guy. But the girl used to give him a show, honey. You know, I think that in reality, a decent amount to tip is $1 to $3 per number. I'm going to repeat that. $1 to $3 per number. If you give a queen a $5 bill, she'll probably be very happy. $20 is a great. I still remember the first queen that I tipped $20 to.
Who?
It was Sherry Vine. The first girl I ever gave $20 to was Sherry Vine. She was at Boots and Saddle doing Svetlana Stoli's show. And I tipped her $20. Now, if you, even more important than how much you're tipping is tipping etiquette. I want to talk about tipping etiquette. Now, all those of you who are watching on video right now, you need to look at this, okay? Let me go get a dollar. Hold on, let me go get a dollar real quick.
Hold on, hold on all day.
I have the dollar.
Hold on, holiday.
This is completely inappropriate. Pulling the dollar back is completely
dancing with the dollar.
Do not do this. Coming up to me, trying to be a part of the number. This dollar does not give you admission or does not pay your way into the number. We're not dancing together. This, because the thing where they put the dollar in their teeth and they want you to take it out with your teeth. What in the droplets is going on? Even before I used to hate. This shit drove.
I've done it for hot guys. If I've definitely done it for a hot guy. If the guy's like really hot, I would definitely engage in that.
Never. In fact, there's a video of me years ago.
And at the help.
There's this guy doing it to Pixie. He has it in his teeth and he's leaning back. And then he's just doing this to Pixie. And then I just crossed the stage and I took the dollar, but I grabbed his entire face and like pulled the dollar off. It was actually someone caught it in slow motion. It was a great video. Also, tipping, if you have like $10 and you $1 at a time, no.
But Bob, I disagree. For dramatic effect, that can work. That can work sometimes.
Not for $5. Hand me my money. Hand me my money. Because you're trying to buy a chunk of my number. I have things planned in this number. Give me my money all at once. That's me. This is for me at my show. You can give Monet a quarter at a time. She loves that shit. For dramatic effect. But I do not like that shit.
If you are far from the stage and it's a big and the room is crowded, you cannot get up to the stage, it is okay to crumple up the dollar and throw it to the stage. The girl will get it, they'll put it in a bucket and they'll uncrumple it later. But don't be back there holding out a money, bitch. You know that your ass, you got there late. And I want your money. So crumple it up and throw it on the stage. Make sure it hits me right square in the forehead. Especially if it's a $20 or $50 or $100 bill.
You know what's not okay? Absolutely not okay. I saw this one time. Someone couldn't reach the queen. They were like not close enough. And then the person in front of them just took their dollar and handed it to the queen. I was like,
That's fine.
That is not fine. Because a lot of times the tip is an exchange between the queen and the person. You cannot take someone else's dollar and hand it to the drag queen. That is, in my opinion.
Oh, no, I think that's fine. Because sometimes people have bad aim. They're like, if I crumble this dollar, it's going to go one inch in front of me. So I especially at Roscoe's, because Roscoe's is always so packed. Some people, they can't throw, so they'll like pass the money up. I've seen that. I think that's okay.
I think the passing of the dollar is completely inappropriate. I think that, and also, no one's aim is so bad that they throw it on and it goes 2 inches in front of them.
Yes, they are. If you're that girl and you can have no aim, you can't throw at all, please comment below. I have seen those people at the drag shows, bitch. I've seen them trying to pump the dollar bill and they're like...
Let's just assume you're being facetious about the 2 inches in front of you. But also, typically speaking, if the dollar lands on the floor somewhere near the queen, most people will just throw the money up on the stage. Like, I've seen that a lot. People are just like, oh, we'll just... In fact, I will try to find this video too. Years ago, I used to get coins, honey, dollar hairs at my show at Barracuda, honey. And the floor, I would always leave all the money on the stage because I felt like it would actually encourage more people to tip. It was always fun. So I would be stepping on the dollars, walking all over the dollars and shit. I would throw the dollars on the stage. And then this supermodel named Salida E. Banks. I don't know if any of y'all remember her. She is completely off social media now. Salida E. Banks is completely, she was one of her biggest things. She was in a Kanye West music video. It was like one of her biggest things. Her name was Salida E. Banks. So Salida E. Banks showed up on stage. And everyone kept being like, oh my God, that's Salida E. Banks. That's Salida. And I didn't know who she was. But I saw just this lady on stage picking up my dollars. Now, bear in mind, we are back. The show's over. She has gone through the curtain and has started picking up my dollars. And I said, hey, baby, put my money down. And she was like, I'm just trying to help. I said, I don't need any help. I do not need help. Please put my money down. And then she was like, then she got offended. She was like, no one wants your dirty dollars. I said, I do. I want these dollars. I need all these dollars. This is very important to me. I need all this money. All this money is important. So she started arguing. So then I started recording her on my phone. So I might be able to find the video of me and Salida E. Banks arguing about whether or not I needed my, quote, dirty dollars.
So let's go to the next question, Jakob.
Okay, so something that I notice you guys do on the podcast is you're very easily able to like express your love for one another. And that's something that I have like a big issue with in my like personal life. It's hard for me to express to my friends and family that I love them. And I don't know if you have any advice on how to work on that. Like, it's just difficult. My family isn't very affectionate. So I think that's part of the reason why. But like, it's hard. I have issues both saying I love you and even thank you when it's like really sincere. Like, I can say thank you to a wait staff or something very easily, but like, I hate getting gifts because I have trouble, you know, being thankful, to outwardly thankful to them. And I come across as like very, what's the word? Like I don't care when I do. So yeah. How do you guys get so comfortable saying I love you to each other and to your partners and everything? I would love to know if you have any tips.
As an empath, I just feel like love.
Well, Monet would probably tell you to say I like you for the first couple of months. And then after that, you can say what you want. You know, I am very comfortable talking about how I feel. And because once you start practicing it, you kind of encourage it in the people around you. And you kind of just created like a scenario where you're, you know, honestly, it's kind of like this thing where like either saying you're wrong or apologizing. I used to have a really big problem with apologizing, and then I just started trying to apologize more frequently. And it really does take practice. You know what I mean? I think that I know how much I like hearing compliments. I know how much I like hearing I love you. I know how much I like hearing words of affirmation. And that's not everyone's love language. Everyone's love language is not words of affirmation. So if that's not the way you express or like to receive love, then you shouldn't have to force yourself, but it sounds like you want that in your life. So I would say just honestly practice it. If someone does something nice to you, say thank you. Say, I really appreciate this. And I don't know what tone you're doing that makes you sound like you're being sarcastic. Yeah, I really like this girl. But if someone does something, they say, I just want you to know how much this means to me. It really means a lot to me that you came to my show today. Thank you. Thank you so much. And just say it straight up.
Yeah, I would say that there obviously is like a reason. Like I would say to do so a little deep digging into why that is. Is it like a family thing? Did you not experience that growing up? If that's the case, if you did not come from a family where you guys said I love you a lot, or you guys did not say please and thank you to each other a lot, then I agree with Bob. I think practicing it is probably the best way to go about it. And I think it will take time. I don't think it's something that's going to happen overnight, especially if it's something that you feel awkward doing, that you feel uncomfortable doing. It's not going to happen overnight. But the more that you do it, the more it will feel comfortable, and the more that it may become second nature. So I think that analyzing what the reason why, and maybe starting with those reasons why, right? So if you feel weird saying it to your family, like to your mom or to your dad or to your siblings, I would start with that. Or maybe the opposite. I'm not starting with them. Starting with your friends first, because there are less stakes there. Maybe depending on what your chosen family situation is with friends or whatever, there may be less stakes there, and work your way up. So start with like your friends, and start with like your siblings, and start with your grandparents and your parents if you have those options. I would say start where it feels like you have the least stakes. Like start saying thank you to random people like in the street. Like if someone holds a door open for you, start saying thank you to doing that. Then you can start saying it to your coworkers. Then, you know, work your way up so that it feels not as harsh, or it will feel easier.
He said that he can say it to waiters. He said it feels really easy for him to say it to waiters. It sounds like he already has that established, that he can say thank you to someone who's like, that he doesn't really know, or if it's really surface. It's just those more intense things, you know? I would say.
So from waiters, start with coworkers. Then start with your siblings and start with your parents.
You went straight to parents. Start with the parents. But where do you go after that?
Your boyfriend, your girlfriend,
your partner. Yeah. And you know, and honestly, next time you have a thing, you know, I don't know when your birthday is, but I got a feeling that on your birthday, a lot of sweet stuff is going to happen to you. That is a great time to start practicing. That's a wonderful time to start practicing.
Hey, Hey, Bob and Monet. I have a question about moving to New York City. So my boyfriend and I are thinking of moving to the city together. We've never lived together, and we're thinking of moving to the Upper West Side. Any advice on moving there or advice on living with a partner for the first time in the city? Thanks.
What was the video of that guy who was like, there was a video of a guy who was like, are y'all trying to move to New York City? Do you remember this video?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, you answer this. I'm going to try to find the video. You keep talking.
Yeah, I'm moving to New York City. I mean, the Upper West Side, that is a good area to move to. You'll be by a lot of restaurants. If you're at Upper West Side, hopefully you're closer to the West Side, so you're right by the West Side Highway, or closer to train station. I would say if moving to New York City, your best bet is to try to be close to a subway stop. And don't try to bring a car to the city. If you're coming from some town where you have a car, you're like, I want to bring my car to New York. As someone who had a car in New York City, bitch, stress. Stress, stress, stress. You will have tickets. Your shit will be towed. It is not worth it. And if you think, not unless your building has parking, which literally no building has parking unless you got that coin, that guap, them coentadas, you'll be paying for a parking spot somewhere that will cost you like $500 a month. If you got the money like that, sure. But having a car in New York is fucking crazy. And be by a subway stop. And looking for a partner for the first time, I think you're looking for a lot of compromise. I feel like, especially if you live by yourself a long time, you may be accustomed to your own things and you may be liking to have things your own certain way. But if you're moving with a partner, the nice thing about this is you guys are starting a space together. This person is not coming to your space. You're not going to theirs. You guys are starting brand new together, which is nice. So you guys get to make rules together. But definitely lean towards compromising so that you guys are both happy. Don't be too rigid and don't try to be too stiff in what you want. Like be able to work with your partner. And if you and fall into the role that you feel like fits you best, right? If you love decorating, your partner's not good at, you head that part up. If your partner is really good at fucking picking out nice furniture or whatever other parts and moving together, like let them lean to that. Don't be weird and falling into roles that you guys are better suited for, because it'll make your space nice together.
I can't find it, but there was a funny video. You sent it to me actually a while back. It was this video of this guy who was like, are y'all trying to move to New York City? Don't move here. Don't move to New York City. Stay where the fuck you at. You don't want to move here. And he was like, at the point he was in the video, he was like.
I think I remember.
He was like, just this morning, I told this kid good morning. He said, fuck you, nigga. Don't ever look at me like that. And that was a 10-year-old Jewish kid.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
He's like, that was a 10-year-old Jewish kid. You don't want to fucking move here. Trust me. Let's right now. If you are not young and broke or old and rich, New York City is hard. It is. But when you live in New York City, living in New York City feels like such a fucking accomplishment. You feel like you honestly feel like you're better than everyone else because you lived in New York City. And that is tea. And truth is, honestly, you are. Like, you're on a different level. It is just, it's such an interesting and different living experience. Living in New York City is one of the most fulfilling things I have ever done in my life. I would never ever take it back, and I probably will go back someday when I have a lot more money and can afford something really fucking nice. I'm not gonna lie, it is a hard city to live in. It is the only city in the world that is actively trying to push you out of it, and you have to fight to stay in it every single time. Like, people move out of New York City and they are all, but they're like afraid. When I lived in New York City, I was afraid to move because I was afraid I might not make it back.
Like move sense. Out of New York City and move like apartments, you mean?
I was afraid if I moved out of New York City, I might not make it back to the city. I always felt that way. If I move out of New York City, I might not make it back to the city. I mean, you're someone who moved away and came back, but I had that fear. It was very real for me. But it really is. It's a fucking great city. If you're gonna move to the city, if you don't have a lot of money, do not try to live in Midtown. Just take your ass up the fuck
uptown,
town,
or to Brooklyn, an outlying borough,
or to Queens, or to the Bronx.
Not Staten Island, though. Don't do that. Don't live to fucking Staten Island.
Not under any circumstances move to Staten Island. Ever. Bitch, go to New Jersey before you go to Staten Island. And any New Yorker will tell you that you are better off in Jersey City than you are in Staten Island. Bitch, if you're on that ferry, you're done.
That was Shiraz.
Literally.
Do not.
Yeah. And if you listen from Staten Island, we said what we said. If you listen from Staten Island.
I don't think we did not have a single person from Staten Island that listens to our podcast. And if you're commenting right now saying from Staten Island, bitch, you're lying. You're sitting your ass right in your apartment in Brooklyn. You're lying. You're not in Staten Island. You're just saying that to cause some conflama.
If you're not on the Verrazano Bridge right now, it, honestly, if you say you are, we use the sibling islandry. I want a picture of you on the Verrazano Bridge, and if I cannot see you on the Verrazano Bridge, I don't, or on the ferry, I will not believe you.
Yeah, same word.
Yeah, but honestly, move your ass uptown. Take your ass above 96th Street.
Yeah, it's a good
place. Hey, Monet and Bob, this is your cool new Aunt Matt. Yes, I'm going to say Monet and Bob because everybody says Bob and Monet is just as good, sometimes even better. No shade to Bob, but Monet, we see you, we love you. My question for you guys is, I've been on the fence lately of if I wanted to try drag out myself. It's one of those things where I love watching the show so much and I feel such a connection to it. And I don't know if it's just because I enjoy it or if it is something that I feel like I need to try myself. So how would somebody, I guess, try it out? Let me know. Thanks.
Wait, really quick, Bob. He just reminded me. Congratulations, you're legendary. The trailer came out. You look so fucking good.
Thank you. Big shout out.
You look so good. The outfit, the fucking makeup, the hair, bitch. You look fucking good.
The outfit was a collaboration between Patrick Howell and Marco Marco, and the hair was Wigs and Grace, and the wings and the staff were made by Jacob. I don't know Jacob's last name. I happen to say it was Jacob Props.
Ritz. He's
not Ritz. He's a props guy named Jake. I don't know his last name, though. He's in my phone is Jacob Props. Anyway, I am very happy to answer to jump into this. So let me tell you right now. If you want to do drag, there is nothing Monet and I could say to convince you to not do it. When someone wants to do drag, bitch, I dare you to stop them from doing drag. People doing drag are fighting all the odds to do drag. This shit is expensive. You are not making money. Your body hurts and your social life is suffering. Well, at least back when I started drag. Maybe it's a little different these days. Or your sex life. Let me rephrase that. Your sex life is suffering. And there is nothing. You cannot stop a queen who wants to do drag from doing drag. I'm telling you, you cannot stop this bitch. She will do it against. I remember Monet used to be fucking cutting corners at work to go to a gig, honey, driving and doing her fucking makeup, sleeping in the car.
Bitch.
I was taking the train in heels. I was at Jekyll and Hyde working on, at my job, working on mixes at the fucking restaurant. Like, all of that. I mean, I remember running home. It was wild. When you want to do drag, there is nothing someone can do to convince you to not do drag, in my experience, especially at least not to try it or to start off. But if you really want to know how to start off drag, if you really want to know how to start it off, I honestly going to recommend that you just go on YouTube. Just go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Google how to do each step. How to style a wig, drag queen, boom. How to do drag makeup, boom. How to make hip pads, boom. How to make drag clothes, boom. All of this. Every YouTube University has all of this available to you. Every single step, especially now.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's so much more access now to find out how to do drag and how to do all this stuff. When I was starting drag, YouTube was around. This was 2012. But the only person on YouTube was Petrolude and like one other person, like Misty Eyes. They were like the only two people on there doing like drag makeup tutorials. And I remember back then, because Misty, Petrolude is not my color. Petrolude is a light-skinned person of color. I kind of had to like see what they were doing and kind of like try to match it myself by buying cheap versions of at the drugstore to like make it work. And but now there's so much access, so many wig tutorials, so many makeup. Bitch, there are so many. And honestly, now, just in today's culture, bitch, the regular makeup that any influencer is doing online is drag fucking makeup. They are wearing full coverage foundations. They're doing like these crazy eyes. Like you can watch pretty much any tutorial and figure out your face. Honestly, once you figure out your face, you really get the confidence to do anything. Like the number one obstacle for a lot of people not letting allowing themselves to go out and drag is the makeup. They feel like they look ugly. So I feel like if you're one of those people, just find a tutorial that you really like and practice that fucking makeup. And do not wait for the time for when it's perfect for you to go out. Just do a time when it looks cute and you're satisfied. And just put on like a cute blazer and some shorts and a thing and a wig and just go out. Go out. And also, you can just go anywhere online and go to wigsandgrace.com. You can buy a styled wig by them or whoever a wig people are. You can have a bitch a full fucking look, a full cunty ass look that you'll feel really good in. So you have many resources and many avenues to get some drag that you feel good in.
I wonder what Misty Maven is up to. Like, I just genuinely have no clue.
We're
what
friends.
Is doing these days. I used to also. I was very attracted to Misty Maven.
Jissy Plavin.
I was
Jissy Plavin's last post was March 2018. She posts on Instagram, on Facebook sometimes. I mean,
I was so attracted to the amount of drag. I was like, this is a hot person. This is a very
they
hot
were very
person.
Attractive,
and just yeah. so talented and so good at drag. And I just remember being like, this
such
is
a
so,
great makeup artist.
So, I wonder what they're up to these days. Like what? Like what?
I don't know.
Misty, where you at, boo boo? What you doing? What you up to? We just want to know what you up to, honey. I feel like all the posts I see on her page or post to her, her last post was January 9th.
Okay, we're still friends on Facebook. Their last Facebook post was
January 9th.
Oh yeah, January 9th. Yeah, if you had a win. No, I'm looking. Oh God. Oh,
she reposted the post from 2012.
Yeah. Dang.
I'm gonna write it right now. Hey, girl, what you up to?
Oh my God, can we? We should have Misty Mavens if they're open to it, having them as a guest on the podcast talking about because just they were in Philadelphia, but they stomped around in New York City a lot too.
Yeah.
With rest in peace,
Maddox Madison.
Maddox Madison, yeah.
We used to do, I think you and I, yeah, I cannot believe I'm saying this.
What?
Well, we should have guests for advisory. Just for advisory, though.
I'm down with that. Every time, Bob, don't overcome it.
You said every time, but that was you. You said that. I didn't say that. You just said that.
Let's now under promise, over deliver.
With yourself and then telling me to chill out. Having a full conversation with yourself by yourself and telling me to chill out. You're wild.
We're gonna under promise, over deliver. We might have guests for advisory. How's that?
All I said was we should have guests more often. Ain't nobody promising nothing. You the only bitch promising shit up in here. I ain't promising nothing to nobody, honey. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Jacob. Play the next one.
Hi, gorgeous, gorgeous girls. How do I start the conversation about polyamory with my partner? Not sure if this is something that we can do, but wanna start looking into it.
Bitch, please go right ahead. I don't know how to ask it because I don't. This is literally your world. I'm just living
just try,
in it.
Just try.
If you want to start, you want to talk to your partner about polyamory. I would say just be honest. Be very forthcoming and be honest. Be like, hey, babe. And also, but hey, okay, how about what not to do? I would say do not do a thing like text and be like, hey, babe, we need to talk, or do some open-ended shit to make them go crazy. And because then when y'all have the conversation, they're going to be annoyed that you left them basically on red for however many hours or however before you talk to them about it. So don't do some like shit like that get them thinking like something bad or this like something bad. Because then now they're associating this conversation with negative thoughts. And they're like, so you don't want to start it off that way. So I would say that and just be honest. Be like, hey, so, I mean, I also have questions. Is there someone else that you're thinking of already? Like, are you having romantic feelings with someone that you want to involve? Or, you know, is that happening already, which is why you want to bring this up? Or you think that it's something that you may want down the line? I have big questions. Because if you're already someone that you're thinking of, then you need to be honest with that at the forefront of it. Be like, hey, so I've been feeling this way about Cindy or Michael, and I like, you know, introduce that at the beginning so your partner does not feel blindsided later. It's like, oh, so the reason you wanted to do this was because you like this person too. Like, be very honest about all of it at the beginning is what I would like.
Also, Monet, you always send me texts that say, hey, I need to talk to you about something.
No, I don't.
I just searched that in the phone and I found like three examples. Monet will say, I need to talk to you about something. And then flat out not respond to me.
That's not true.
I have to. The fact that I have to go to the extreme lengths of posting screenshots on you all the time is so exhausting.
Screenshots will be your downfall, bitch.
You, honey. You. And let me just let you know, Exploding Footgate is not done. Anyway. Just know that, honey. I think that that Monet is right about this. I think that, first of all, in my opinion, in terms of polyamory, being open and honest is the most important thing you can do for your relationship with anyone, especially when it comes to polyamory. You do not want to sneak around on your partner. That is so dishonest. It is really setting you up for some extreme failure. You do not want this in your life. Do not sneak around on your partner, because you probably do not want them sneaking around on you. I think that if you open up to them and say, I want you to know that I am interested in the notion of polyamory. I think that if you already have someone that you're lining up, then that seems shady to me. But if you're like, I think that I could be attracted to other people. I think that I love you very much, and I think you want to affirm them and let them know you love them and that you are not trying to leave them, that you do love them, but you do think that you are capable of loving more than one person at a time at a very intense and romantic level. I, in my relationships, we do not have hierarchies. I do not have a one and a two or a main boyfriend and a less main boyfriend. I don't do that because that just doesn't work for us.
Jacob puts on his camera.
That's not dragging anyone. Jacob, you are so ridiculous. Jacob, maybe you should chime in on this one too, Jacob. But actually, Jacob, turn your camera on. I want to chime in on this one. When Jacob and I first started dating, I let him know. I was like, well, I'm not into a close relationship. Jacob, turn your camera on. I want you to join us. We were okay. Like,
oh. Maybe Jacob doesn't want to talk. Now you're forcing Jacob to talk about something on camera you don't want to talk about.
And I said, you know, I think that I might be interested in open relationship and probably even polyamory, but that was just like, but I was like, you're also the only boyfriend I have right now. So for right now, this is all that's going on. And then the moment that I was interested in dating someone else, I told Jacob right away, like immediately. I let Jacob know.
How long in this, like, Jacob, I think I might go to, I want to date someone else. Like, is it, I was talking about a week, a year?
I told Jacob that I was, like, texting back and forth with Ezra, and, like, pretty much immediately. Before I even met Ezra, I already told Jacob before I even met him. We were actually on a cruise ship, and then when we got back from the cruise ship, I was like, I'm going to hang out with Ezra and see if anything comes of this. Before I even met Ezra in person, I told Jacob. And then when Ezra and I were decided to start dating, I told Jacob immediately. Like, as soon as Ezra and I parted ways, I told Jacob. I maybe even told him while I was still there with Ezra for now.
Why you met Ezra for the first time, you told Jacob you want to...
Before I ever saw Ezra with my own eyes, I told Jacob I was going to go meet him.
Right. And then, so how long before that were y'all boyfriends? I mean, after that were y'all boyfriends is my question. Like, after the initial conversation.
Maybe a couple of months. I mean, okay. I went back to New York City, and then maybe 3 months went by, I think. And then we started dating on my second trip to LA, I think. Jacob, how do you remember?
I would say it was about a week or 2 weeks in between.
You think so?
I can try to figure out exactly when it was by looking on my phone. If you said we were on
because a... Because I remember it was on a trip that I returned to New York City. And to LA. And I don't think it was a week in between those trips, was it?
It was sometime in November.
It was between some trips. I remember it was one trip to LA and then the second trip to LA, Ezra and I started dating.
Dotting.
Yeah, I feel like it was not that long. I think it was maybe 2 weeks.
Well, I think the bottom line is like being honest, like talking to your partner about it. don't do some sneak shit. Don't be like fucking somebody and then be like, I want to do polyamory. And you're like, okay. And like, then, you know what I mean? Being honest, being open and honest with your partners and letting them know what's up, I think is the key to co-sign what Bob said.
Yeah, that sounds like some solid advice there, people.
I think we might have time just for, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, we have time for like one more, I feel.
Uno más.
Hey, Bob Monet. So the LA Times recently released a short documentary following Joan Jett Black, the drag queen who ran for president in 1992. And it made me wonder if either one of you have considered running for president or any public office for that matter. And if so, what would be your platform? And just full transparency, I had to record this like 6 times because my brain would not allow me to not call her Joan Jett Jackson for some reason.
Yeah, I love Joan Jett Black. I don't know if you know. So Joan Jett Black is a really interesting person in American history. She ran for president, but it was kind of street theater. It was kind of like she wasn't really super serious about it. It was really a lot of street theater, and she was actually able to get on the floor of the Democratic National Convention. They had to sneak her in, but she had to get in drag in the building, in the bathroom. She was actually able to get down. And there's even a play about her. I don't know the name of the play, but it's about Joan Jett Black.
She kind of looked like Hattie in Closet.
Because she had a gap?
Yeah, and like, this is giving me like Hattie in Closet when she like first came onto the scene on season 12.
The play was called
like, Miss... specifically her in the pink suit.
The play was called Miss Black for President. As of now, I have no desire to ever be in any political office for any reason ever at all. It just does not speak to me. At this current moment in my life, and at no moment in my past have I ever considered running for political office. I do not want to do that.
Agreed. There's not any part of me that would ever want that. Literally not even a little bit. Not at all. No. No, no, no. No, 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 no way. No, 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 no way.
I also feel like I can affect change in policies and politics without actually being a politician.
You can be the exchange you want to see in the world.
You can be political without being a politician, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I have no desire.
I also do. I don't want to. I don't think I've ever backtracked on the advisory before. But I do want to say, in terms of the polyamory question, I just realized this. I think that also give yourself leniency to make some mistakes, especially if you're doing it for the first time ever. You're going to learn some stuff along the way. It might be a little bit bumpy, and there might be some moments where you do something that you know what it is. You're realizing in the moment what some of your boundaries are because it's so new to you, and you don't even know that it's a boundary of yours or that it's a boundary of your partner's because you've never ever experienced this before. And when your partner does tell you this, I felt this way when you did this, just try to hear them out. And instead of getting defensive, I know that I've gotten defensive before, but I eventually got around to the point where I was like listening and being like, I can hear you. I can hear why that would be upsetting. And you just really give each other space to explore what feels right to each other. You are not locked into anything. You're not locked into, if you feel one way on Monday and then you feel another way by Wednesday, it is okay that you've changed because you're exploring and finding out new things about yourself and your relationship and your partner and your dynamic because your dynamic is changing. So I just want to throw that out there. You will
make don't be changing. Be exactly. No, I'm kidding.
You will make some mistakes on the way and just try to really listen to what your partner has to say. And on top of just being open and honest, you need to really be receptive.
Let me tell you something, okay? Kerry Colby posted this picture. Did you see what Kerry Colby posted today?
No. On Instagram or on Twitter?
On Kerry Colby's most recent post, y'all. This is her post on today, May 2nd. It is 12:40 a.m. Eastern time, 3 hours ago. So whatever time that is when you guys are hearing this. Bitch, she better fucking work.
She better go off.
This is so hot. This is so hot.
She better work, girl. Whatever Kim lost, Carrie found it, honey.
So hot. Like, so hot. Anyway, we get some good advice today, Bob. I was a little nervous about what you would say, but you pulled through, as you always do. You're always so great.
I want y'all to realize what Monet just did was just gave me a backhanded compliment. Monet tried to insult me and then end it with a compliment so that if I responded, I would look crazy. Monet insulted me and then immediately followed up with a compliment so I would be like, oh, thank you. Bitch, I ain't falling for that shit. Bitch, I ain't no dumb hoe, bitch.
I'm going to see you soon.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Where?
Back at home.
Oh, yeah. I'll be back on the 6th.
I'll be back. And I'm back with a capital back.
Well, I love you very much. And
I did drop a little tea leaf for y'all. Y'all figure out what that means later, honey. Yes, girl. Because I'm back. With a capital back.
Goodbye.
Bye.